Acts 6:4. Now, the background of this was clear. There was murmuring in the church. And in any relationship and gathering of people, there will be needs to be met. There will always be needs. And that's why pastor, minister, if you're a Christian minister, which all of us have, you mustn't be teleguided by needs. There will always be needs. You know, and they said, look, there's a neglect in the distribution of food for the widows. You know, in daily ministration. Imagine how that sounds. Daily ministration. So there were widows that ought to be taken care of, which is biblical. You know, up to this point, Paul hadn't written his own instruction that he gave to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5. And he said, no, it's not all the widows that you take care of. Okay? You take care of the widows only when they are 60. You know, so he made some very clear demarcation. And he said, look, that widow must have been given to prayers and supplication, must have taken care of our kids, must have, you know, washed the saints' feet, must have been known for good works. So I believe some widows will not say, well, I'm not a widow anymore, you know, by the time those kind of qualifications come in. So over time, you know, and that shows you that those kind of things can really become a distraction in the local church. You'll always have needs, you'll always have widows, you'll always have people, orphans, you'll always have people who need care, and those things can become very distracting. Sometimes you can even come to a local church and think that's the reason why you have a local church. I need to settle my bills. I need to take care of things. Oh, I have believers here. Oh my God, we have 100. I know by the time I talk to 3, 4, 5 people, you know, my problems will be solved. You know, that's why some people go to church. And that's a huge distraction. And sometimes the pastor may be compelled to focus on that. And before now, if you understand, by the time you read Acts 2 and 4, you discover that the apostles were doing this by themselves. Obviously, by the time in Acts 2, people will bring they'll bring in their things, and then maybe someone else will sell it and sell their lands and bring the proceeds to their feet, and then they'll distribute as everybody had need. You know, imagine 3,120 people, then it grew to a number of people, then begins to plus 5,000, making 8,000, and they had to attend to that on a daily basis. On a daily basis, they had to take phone calls and talk to people about not having a job. They had to, you know, receive emails about, oh, pastor, I've not been able to pay my house rent. And, you know, they had to do that every day. They had to have people say, oh, you know, pastor, my children's school fees haven't been paid, you know, since last year. What can we do? And they had to take care of those needs on a daily basis. And things like that wear out the minister. It takes your attention off the primary purpose of why the church is. And so that went on. And you see, oftentimes, because of what the nature of needs are, needs can never, ever be exhausted. Because needs oftentimes, except like Jesus said, food to eat and clothes to wear, which has life in itself, except that, you know, you'll always have them increase. When I was younger, I had needs. As I grew up, I had needs. There were things I liked, I don't like anymore. There are things I like now, I never used to like. You know, it always comes up like that. So if a church is focused on your needs, it will lose its own focus. You know, so we need to be careful and not to be distracted and think the local church is where I meet those needs. And so this was the case here. And so when it's not met, as the case will always be, because as people grow, the resources will be scarce. And obviously there was an economic downturn here. And, you know, historically it is said that people that traveled from the different regions, because they had just received the gospel, they had to stay behind in Jerusalem. And so they didn't go back to the different countries they came from. And obviously, those were the people that they were selling lands and houses to meet their needs. Are you following this? So as that was going on, obviously, resources would be exhausted over time. And so before you knew it, they had to ration how needs were met. And by the time you get to Acts 11, there was now a famine in the whole, an economic recession in the whole of Israel, Jerusalem particularly, and in the coast of Judea. And that will obviously affect the church, apart from the fact that they are taking care, there was an economic recession generally. Of course, they are taking care of people's needs. People have sold their lands and houses, which was an economic, what do you call it, status for the Jew. So for that had happened, obviously there will be pressure on the church, pressure on believers, and it will oftentimes result in how people react. People will lose their jobs often, and people will, and anyone who preaches to you that when you are in Christ, your job is secured, is just lying to you. He wants to secure himself. You know, he says people lose their jobs, people probably lose their investment. If you're a businessman, that's why when you do auditing, it's called profit and loss. You know, so there shall be no loss. You cannot say, what did you say? There shall be no loss in the Jesus name. Well, you present your Bible and not a statement of accounts. So that will happen as the case may be. So there's pressure. They'll be murmuring. Ah, what's going on? What's going on? And people will murmur. Sometimes it doesn't come in this format. It comes in the fact that you are disjointed, discouraged by the happenings of the day, and then you have to go to church. You don't have to murmur loud, but you murmur inside you. The minute your zonal pastor or your pastor says, oh, we're going to go for evangelism tomorrow, that doesn't appear to be what's on your mind. And you feel like, seize mouth. You don't have to say it loud. Listen. He doesn't understand what life is. The guy says, we're reaching out to lies with him. Then you see a flyer somewhere. And it says, how to battle economic recession. 76 skills to overcome. That's what pastors should be saying. Not this, oh, it's Christ all the way. Moses preached Christ. Moses. Is he a Nigerian? So you wonder, you know. So there's pressure. And everyone will have pressure. And so you have that in the local church, and there's murmuring. And he says, let's give. Eh? And then you purposely now give something very low. So the pastor will ask you because you are looking for trouble. Say, ah, but that's not so. Aren't you even grateful I gave this one? Do you know what I've been passing through? Say, what passing through? Say, what? Shall we? Don't worry, brother. That's it. Sir, just pray for me. It is well. Do you understand? So there was murmuring, and the pastor might lose his focus easily. Because some people believe that's what the local church is for. That's what it's for. They just come around and then there's a daily ministration for our daily needs. But then the apostles were wise enough to note that this would be a huge distraction in the local church. And I must say this to all of us since coming to church. This is by the way, we must avoid distractions. What did I say? Come on, say it like I said it. We must avoid distractions. And I'm just going to veer off what I just said now and then get back to it. We must avoid it. And I always tell our pastors, be focused. Sometimes some things will make you leave what you're doing, particularly in the work of the ministry. Before you know it, you are responding to people. You are being distracted. You're being distracted. Before you know it, you're facing what some people are saying that, no, you don't have to do all that. You're getting distracted. And sometimes you can have people in the local church themselves come to distract us. Sometimes it's even from your own private life that there will come a distraction here and there. I look back at my life, I'm still a young man, but I look back at the number of years I've spent in the ministry and I tell myself, what could I say was one of the greatest resource that I have, and I had. The greatest resource I had was that early in life, I learned not to be distracted. It's the greatest resource, one of the greatest resources I had, that I learned it, that don't be distracted. And that includes, don't be distracted by yourself. It's one of the greatest resources I've had. Don't be distracted. Some people have asked me, how do you manage to do this one? Some that even know, sometimes when I have some very, very strong business challenges, look at me, how do you manage to stay like this? I've learned this since I was a child. How do you manage? How do you do it? Some folks, you'll have seen it all over them. I said, I've just learned it. To stay on course. From a child. I learned to go to preach when I would leave my father's house and I would be sent out to stay in an uncompleted building. I remember one time I said uncompleted building and there were dogs in the other room. I just said, stay home, let me stay home, let's have a nice night. And I was going to teach at our fellowship then for 2 weeks and nobody knew. I didn't say it in the pulpit. I didn't even mention it. It was until one lady, she decided that she wanted to follow me home. How do you normally, you just see yourself at this point and you go. You don't allow us go further. So she said no. So she called another brother and said, we're going to follow you. I said, no, it's okay here. I now use style. I said, oh, bless you. I shared the word with them. She was watching. You think you want to use my head here? She said, brother, well, we're going home together. I said, no, you guys, we've tried. We've been in fellowship since 7 a.m. So I said, don't worry. Today is today. We're going home. So I now had to confess that I actually don't go home. Where do you go? So I showed them where I was saying, yeah. And they had to go and bring food and things like that. So I learned that. Just be focused. Let's know where you're going. You know what God told you to do. Stay with the gospel because the gospel demands on its own 100% concentration. The gospel doesn't say, are you full time or part time? Is there anybody that can serve God on part time? Those of you who are into career like I am, everybody should be. There's no full time minister here in that context. If a full time minister here, we'll give you a laborer job somewhere to go and do. You cannot hold the Pauline revelation and not work for a living. And say, the Pauline revelation. And then you revert to the Levites when it comes to money. No. You stay with the Pauline revelation. So you have all that. You have to go to work. And right in you are talking to your managing director, you are the managing director, and your mind is still on the gospel. That shows you have retained your focus. Some of us can't manage those things. Some of us cannot even manage fame. We can't manage wealth. Oh, you see, you got a contract of 1 billion. And then your prayer life changes. You know, and just get out and say, Abada, okay, it is. You know, you money just exposed you. And sometimes not having it also exposes you. It's the same thing. Anger is exposing you. You need to learn to keep your focus. And I learned that as a younger person. I just learned to keep my focus. And sometimes I'll be writing exams. And as I'm done with my exams, I'm out to preach. I remember one time when I was in Lorraine, my brethren stayed outside. I was writing the exams. I wish I said, bro. Because we were going to Ghana to have a mission. And as I left like this, I must have written my name. I just went there. Let's go. Because we were going to a Bible school and I was the only one that could teach there. So that's how we rushed. And you have to keep your focus. And that's important. It's the greatest resource, one of the greatest I had as a younger person, which I thank God is invaluable today, is the power of focus. It's not easy. So of course you're human. Sometimes you feel really distracted. You feel, my God, I wish everything on my mind here was just Jesus, the gospel. That's never going to happen. We're on the side of heaven where that can never happen. And then you have to keep your focus. That's something we all have to do as pastors and leaders. Sometimes I've seen people sell out very well in the ministry of the word, but they lost their focus along the line because they didn't know how to avoid distractions. It will always come. Always come. Sometimes it comes from your family, from your own needs, your own desires. Sometimes it comes from desires of others that you love. Sometimes it comes from your nation. You know, it will always arise, but you must learn the power of what? Focus. Staying focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I learned that well, and a few men that the Lord brought into my life helped me to see it. And so it's important that you don't lose your focus. You don't change. You don't amend or blend to the day's needs. You don't do that. And this arose here, you know, the Bible says that then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason. Always know how to say this. It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So I say priority. Come on, say last, say priority. They didn't say serving tables was wrong. No. But we can't leave this for that. And you must have that in your mind. You must know how to place priority. It's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Look for among yourselves 7 men of honest report, full of wisdom and full of the Holy Ghost, whom we may appoint over this need. The word business there means need. So you must know how to place priority. As a preacher of the gospel, as a pastor, you will tell yourself, what's priority in the church? We ask ourselves as pastors and sisters, come to church, what's our priority? What should be the focus of our services? Some things will be done by the side, but what should be the focus? What should an average person come to Saints Community Church to find? What will be your priority? What will be the other things are important. You know, sometimes you say, well, we need to do this, we need to do that. So we're all about, there's no light here. What about the ACs? What about this one? The venue. It's important. But you see, you can be so distracted that you lose the primary reason why you gather. You can. So we mustn't lose focus. Nothing must dictate to us outside the gospel itself. You must be careful. And some people today who are ministers have become administrators. And that's why you won't find, they won't have enough time again to study and pray. Because your focus has shifted. You don't have enough time to study and pray. We'll deal with some of that tomorrow. You know, to study and pray. I've always maintained in my life, if I miss it, I do a carryover. I'll do a minimum 6 hours, 8 hours sometimes of studying and prayer every day. It's just a culture. I've done it for as many years as I can ever remember. Over the last 22 years or so. So it's a culture you must have. You must know your priority. This is my priority in good times, bad times, as the case may be. In great seasons, not too great seasons. Or maybe it's in good times, not too good times. I'll rephrase that. In great seasons, not too great seasons. Some things mustn't leave you. Some things are your culture. It's not reason that I should leave the world and serve tables. Well, this is just for this period. I was telling someone, I said, if there's something you must never do, it's a pastor in Owerri, I said, you must never abandon the work of the ministry. I said, this ripple effect, you will never, ever, ever recover from it. Let me tell you this. See, there's nobody, listen to me, who studies and prays well that is not involved in the work of the ministry. It's a trigger on its own. In fact, you can't tell me, I just want to know God. It's good to know God. Like some people say, I just want... Responsibility makes you do what you're doing. So the moment there's no responsibility, the desire will drop. You must see it. That responsibility is there. So you can't. Because this particular pastor was having a challenge. I said, look, I understand the challenge. I'm going to deal with it. But you see, if there's something, I said, the least you should do is between evangelism and follow up. That's the least. That's, look, they tie your hand and tie your leg. If that ever happens, go out. Go and do evangelism. Never allow the fire to go down. Never. Don't allow marriage, being pregnant, having children, raising them. Never! You mustn't. So you mustn't. It will reduce your study culture. After a while, you won't have any again. Your prayer life. Why are you praying so much if you are not involved in people's lives? Yeah, that means you are an idol worshiper. Do you get it? That's why you pray so much. My dad told me one day that he caught me going to pray, so he stayed at the gate. As I got inside, he just said, "Where are you coming from?" I was so shocked. Because I normally would sneak out like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. and come back before 7. So where are you coming from? I said, "I went to pray." Pray. He said, "How old are you?" They now ask the golden question. Are your sins that many? Because that guy is so wonderful. What are you thinking about? You didn't understand the burden that was on my spirit for the nations of the world. Still is there. So you must know parity. What must come first? It will dictate the kind of person you get married to. It will dictate how you raise your children. It will dictate everything. Rise and falls on that. You must know. It is not reason that we should leave the word of God. It is not good. And don't forget this. This was a request of majority. It's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. You must have your priorities. Like I taught you in that teaching, one thing. Is it one thing or one desire? What is it? No. There's also one thing. Eh? There's one desire. There's one WCC one. Is it one thing? That's the title. There's one desire. There's one thing. Alright. There's one thing. And I say, ask yourself, what is that one thing? And nothing can take from you. Live or die, sink or swim, go up, go under. You will. This one? It is your life. Ask yourself. Something you can live for and if necessary, die for. You must ask yourself. There's one desire. One desire is different. This is a WCC teaching. I think it was 2013 or so. So it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. But verse 4. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Continually to prayer. The apostles now broke free from distractions. Do you know that the moment they did that, more people received the gospel? And then the work of the ministry spread among the saints. We'll give ourselves. So obviously, attending to those things was a distraction. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In other words, we'll give ourselves to praying and to preaching and teaching. To prayer and to preaching and teaching. So ask ourselves, Saints Community Church, can we keep contending for this purpose? Can we keep staying there? As needs arise, they increase, they multiply, they're distinguished. What will be our focus? What are those things that must never be left? I remember 2008, I sat down with some of our leaders. They were not pastors then. I think some of them were BTC coordinators. As I called some of them, and I said, look, it appears to me that we are losing our focus in some regards. We had that meeting at Faith Plaza, I think. And I said, what are the things that we can never substitute? And then we shared together. We said, we must never substitute this. We must never leave this one. I said, no, this is something we must never, ever compromise. no matter the pressure and no matter the situation. Remember that some 9 years ago. So there are things you ask yourself. Am I losing my focus? You got into the local church and then suddenly your desires will increase, like we said. But don't forget the reason why you came. You came to know Jesus more. You came to serve Him. But along the lines, you know, things will increase. You know people. You do business with them. You get into relationships that even lead to marriage. And you know this one. You know, things now get interwoven. It's easy to lose your focus. Very, very easy. Before you know, you begin to define church as me and this person are in this place. We talk, you know, me and that person. So it becomes a mixed grill. That's when your spirituality now has to count. How to separate the wheat from the chaff. Why am I here? It's at that point that you will know the purpose of relationships. All my friends, all of them that I relate with over the years, all of them, whether it's in the past or present, they know that things we don't compromise, no matter what. All my friends. Some of them think I'm very difficult. So some people say, not them, I'm very difficult. No, I'm not, just that. There are some things we don't lose focus on. No matter how close we are, you know, no matter how related, closely related we are, no matter what, some things, you know. Because we can get so carried away by other things. You are now in the ushering department, so you're just about, okay, and then you're taken away, you're distracted. You are now in the, maybe music team, you sing a lot, and then you're particular about how to sing, you know, and all that, and then the word of God is taught in the service, you come in late. Or like before, when you be so eager to take notes, you now selectively take them. Something that distracted you. Or you walk into prayer meetings late, unlike before. Something that distracted you. In Luke 10, Jesus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. I shared that in church. And he said, Martha, why are you careful about many things? He said, many things. And interestingly, Martha was going around to prepare food for Jesus. How else do you want to serve than to make food for Jesus? I'm very sure she made rice. One fellow told me, he said, Satan would have just told you, turn this stone to rice. So that would be my own temptation. I've never eaten anything dreams but rice. I eat rice so often. So often. You know. She's cooking for Jesus. She said, oh, what would the master want to know? They said, one thing is needful. And your sister Mary has found it. And he left the clincher. And it will never be taken from her. That's critical. You can get so distracted. Your friends, oh my God. You can start coming to services to see people. To talk with people. Some even come to services so that they can be seen. They spend more time dressing up than the time they spend in the service. How do I look? How do you look? You going for a parade? Remember, it was in 98. So I was like, I can't go to church. I said, there's no light overnight. Sir, there's no light overnight. I can't go to church. I couldn't find a nexus. I couldn't iron my clothes. I said, are there no other ones that have said, no, to church. It's a particular one. So bad. One thing is needful. The word. Jesus spoke about priority. Seek ye only the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33, and all things shall be added unto you. It didn't say seek it so that they can be added. That's mysterious interpretation. They will be added anyway, so don't seek them. Seek the kingdom only. You need to learn to have priorities. Don't say priorities? You know, what is first. Learn to have it. Priority is what makes you marry someone in the local church, and that relationship does not encroach in while you are there. Priority is what makes you do business with someone in your church, but that doesn't encroach on what you are doing in the house of God. That's priority. Priority is what makes you never to delegate, or sorry, to relegate your responsibilities aside in spite of other things that you're engaged with. Priority. Priority is what makes soul winning your most important activity in the local church and prayer. Priority. 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 What's first? What's most important? Learn to keep your focus. As a younger man, I would go to a meeting with my friends, like very close friends. Some of you never met them. I think the only people that met my closest friends, one of them has left church. She's still one of us, but she doesn't attend this church again. And then Pastor Eli is also one of those people that probably knew those people. I think they know them. We go for a meeting. We don't talk. When we get in, we don't talk until we leave. I won't discuss with you. Because you want to take my attention. I value my attention a lot. That's how I learn. That's how I listen. That's how I listen to the word, and that's how I listen to the Spirit of God. I value my attention. So I'm always careful about what takes my attention. Be careful. Because God wants your attention. He wants to talk through men to you. He wants you to talk to men. He wants you to study His Word, listen to His Spirit. You need to know how important your attention is. So when those needs come, it's not reason that we should leave the Word and do this. It's not proper for us to place this above study and prayer. It's not proper. We give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Before we close tonight, I want you to reprioritize your life. What are the things? Before my close. What are the things that should be priority? Let's do that tonight before we leave. What are the priorities you should have? What are the things that you have changed in priority? Have you grown? Sometimes you may not know. You've so grown in age and time, and you forget that some things are no longer first place like they used to be. Evangelism, follow, having disciples, prayer. Things that you will do without anybody urging you have now become boredom. Priority. It's not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Are you a pastor? Are you a cell leader? Are you a house fellowship leader? Sorry, fellowship leader, pardon me. I thought I was in someone else's church. Are you a pastor, a general pastor? Whatever you are, what are your priorities? You know, as good as this sounds, oh, let's have more members. That can compromise your priorities. And then you'll be so particular about people coming to the services and forget what to do with their lives. The content of what you teach, the depth of what you teach, the impact of what you say. Prayer. Study. Priority. Priority is what makes someone somewhere for a long time. I tell those of you who have been in church for a long time, I said you can be somewhere for years and then you lose your focus and almost like everything you've ever done is in vain. There's someone, a young man, a young woman who just joined in. And the person will seem to do better what you were doing before. That's a power of focus. Learn to be focused. Did you hear that tonight? Learn to be focused. See, life's challenges won't stop. So get that now. So say, well, let me just get married. Every other problem will be solved. It's because that marriage has its own needs. Let me just have children. Children have their own needs. Let me just get a job. The job will have its own needs. Let me just get a higher degree, a master's program that has its own needs. And their legitimate needs. So the earlier you know how to put priorities on things, the better for you. You will keep having needs. It will never stop. And they change, you know. They're altered here and there. So the earlier you know, it is not reason that I should leave this to serve tables. The earlier, the better for you. Priorities. I grew as a minister with a very strong itinerary ministry. As far back as 1995, I used to travel around the country. I remember a denomination, I preached for them in almost every state in Nigeria and in West Africa. I had a golden opportunity at the point to work with a ministry over in Canada and America and to teach, and there was a lot of opportunities here and there. But I said no. It didn't look good. It looked stupid. But I'm glad I did. I've learned in my life to say no. I won't even think about it. I won't even pray about it. Praying over it is causing more confusion. I just say no. Learn to have priorities. You think by much effort? No. It's by following the leading of the Spirit. Learn to be focused. To be focused. I started getting invitations to teach in Bible schools 95, 96. It's 21 years now. But I declined them. Now we're going to be doing it around the world. Priority. The Lord says we should stop, we will stop without any bad feeling at all. Learn to keep your focus. Put your eyes on the plan. Keep your eyes on the ball. I say that often to you guys. Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on the ball. Don't follow applause. People cheering you means nothing. It means nothing. If you don't know how to handle cheers and jeers, you're not ready to follow God in the work of the ministry. No jeers. I'm telling you, 1 Corinthians chapter. Oh, sorry. Because you got carried away. I learned early in life to stick to my notes. When I was younger, by the time I see you say, I'll just look for one big revelation. Do you know? I say, God help me. I'm grateful to just say what I want to say, the way I was sharing. So I grew to not teach for crowd appeal. That's what I want to say. Some people say, you are saying this, I say, it doesn't matter. Truth has no emotion. It's just said. Some like it, some hate it, some are indifferent. But hey, say it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the way it is. Learn to prioritize. Am I for people's applause? Or am I for God's commendation? I love God's commendation. It makes me sleep well at night. It makes me know my conscience is clear. When I'm wrong, I say, I was wrong what I said. Nothing for the crowd. Everything for the one who has sent us. So as we close tonight, ask yourself, do you prioritize? Is it easy to think that this is for somebody else? No, it's for you. It's for everybody here, including myself. Are things changing your focus, shifting your attention? What is taking your attention? Write this down. God needs my attention. Attention is needed at all times. The work of the ministry is full time. You can't serve God part time. Is that clear? He needs your attention. Saints Community Church, where is our attention? Are we contending for the vision to reach the world with the gospel, to study, to pray, to contend for the supernatural, to take Jesus around the world. Is that what your attention is about at this moment? Or something else has gotten you distracted? Think about it. Let us pray. Bow your heads wherever you are. Think about it.